Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2, for our thoughts this morning. I want to tell you about an old story. You've heard the story many, many times. And I'm here to tell you, it's an old story. There's not going to be anything new, but listen to me. It's the greatest story, as my brother said, ever told. Understand that I love this story. I'm thankful for this story because, again, it reminds us that knows the Savior and knows what the true meaning of Christmas is, that God loves us. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." It came to pass, as the angels gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to stand before your congregation and share your holy word. Heavenly Father, I pray now as I break the bread of life, you'll give me the words to say. Lord, you'll just help me to remember those things you've laid upon my heart to speak this morning. Pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to have his way. May he speak to our hearts. And Lord, if there's those that need to come for salvation or for whatever reason, Lord, may the Holy Spirit convince them of their need and may they come, Lord, and obey your voice. Thank you for each home represented here this morning. Thank you for our guests. Thank you for our members. And Lord, we thank you this time of the year. We assemble this morning to remember you keeping your promise coming into the world to save sinners, whom I'm chief. Love you, praise you, ask you to be with the prayer requests that have been spoken. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would be seated, I want to begin by saying that 4,000 years has passed since the Lord in the Garden of Eden promised that he would send a Savior. 4,000 years. And if you will, night after night for 4,000 years took place. But then, as Galatians tells us there in chapter 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law. Took 4,000 years. But praise God, God sent a Savior into the world. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Now, I'm not going to split hairs. I'm not going to argue, oh, he wasn't born in December. No, he probably wasn't. The thing is, that is the time that's been said to honor him and glorify him. So I don't have a problem with preaching and teaching his birth. And I won't split hairs about, was it March? Was it April? It doesn't matter. He was born. That's all that matters. I will say, Brother Bill, you'll like this, because he pointed it out, and he's absolutely right. See these fellas? They weren't there at the birth of our Savior. That was 2 years later at a house that the wise men showed up. It's just tradition. Now, I want to tell you, when it comes to the message of Christmas, we have a lot of tradition. Amen? That's just how it is. But we also need to be scriptural. Amen? So I think we might take the wise men down after services today. Just have Mary and Joseph and the baby. And if anybody's got some shepherds you want to put up there, bring them and we'll put them up there because that's scriptural, right? All right, let's go. I like this message because it's a message for everyone. For everyone. We'll start with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I want to say this about the shepherds. They weren't exactly the upper crust of society back then. In fact, they were considered the lowest of the low because they were ceremonially unclean. They weren't able to go to the temple regularly. And they were outcasts. And that ought to be good news for you and I because we are outcasts also. But God loved us so much that he was willing to send his son into the world to die on a cross so that we could come to him. The shepherds were outcasts. And they were doing their job on this holy night. And by the way, there's only been one holy night. And that was 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, when God's only begotten Son came into the world. Now, they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I would imagine all of us, had we witnessed that night an angel of the Lord, we might be a little afraid ourselves. Here we are tending to the sheep. Not really, it's just a normal night. And yet, it wasn't normal because God sent the angel of the Lord. Now, who do you think the angel of the Lord was? It can only be one of two. Folk, it's the same angel that appeared to Mary and to Joseph. What was his name? Gabriel. It was Gabriel. You say, well, who's the other angel? Well, it's Michael. And who's Michael? He's the defender of Israel. Amen? So the angel of the Lord comes and they're afraid. And notice what he said. And the angel said unto them, fear not. I'm here to tell you, the Bible tells us that we live in troubled times. Amen. In fact, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, or don't be afraid. And you know, today all you hear when you turn on the TV or all you hear people talking about is a pandemic this, pandemic that. And yes, I'm not taking light. It is a serious virus. And yes, people are dying right and left. But when you have Jesus, there's nothing to fear. In fact, he's the one that speaks peace. Be still. He said, fear not. But listen to the message that the angel gave. He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Understand, fear not. The message I bring is going to bring joy to all people. And let me say something. Yes, salvation is for all, but it's also personal. All people. That means you and me and everyone. We have a personal invitation to accept Christ. And my prayer this morning is everybody under the sound of my voice has that personal relationship. You know Him personally. And most importantly, He knows you personally as your Savior. And you have the opportunity this morning to know Him. So He brings a message of joy. Beloved, I'll go ahead and tell you, the greatest joy I have ever experienced in my life, and you're going to say the same thing in your life, is when you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and received Him into your heart. There's never been more joy in my life. I tell you what, it felt like 1,000 pounds lifted off my shoulders. It felt like I could walk on air. I got a home in heaven waiting. I've been forgiven of all my sins. I am a child of God. Amen. That's joy. And as far as peace on earth, goodwill toward men, I'll go ahead and tell you, sad to say, while we're here on earth, there will not be peace. And we already see the goodwill toward men. You got one side wanting to cut the other's throat, and the same other side wants to do the same to them. But I'm here to tell you, when the King of Kings comes back, the Lord of Glory comes back and installs His kingdom, there will truly be joy and there will be peace on earth during the millennial reign of Christ. Amen? Are you looking forward to that day? Boy, I am. Now notice, and the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Notice what the angel said to the shepherds. Unto you, this day, born in the city of David, Bethlehem, born a Savior. Look at the three words that the angel used. Savior, Christ, and Lord. Well, understand. Angel told the shepherds that a Savior was being born. And listen, what that means is Jesus Christ came into the world for one purpose, and that was to die to provide salvation for all of us. So this babe laying in a manger will be identified as the Savior. But not only will He be identified as the Savior, He will be identified as the Christ, which means the anointed one. This is the one that was prophesied that the Messiah would come. For 4,000 years, they waited for the Messiah to come. You see, He would be born. That one prophesied that would come. That one where all of the sacrifices and rituals pointed to this anointed one, the Christ. And then, Lord. Angel told the shepherds He'd be identified as the Lord. And that word means that He's in control of everything. And by the way, that baby, born of a virgin, and let me say this real quick. I get myself in trouble all the time because I end up watching stupid shows that I know better to watch when it comes to Christianity. I don't know why I do it, but I do it. Had this, what's a word I can use that won't be infidel? teaching that Mary was not a virgin. She was a young maid, which means she had had relations. I wonder what Bible he's even picked up. Listen to me. The Bible says a virgin shall conceive. Mary was a virgin. Amen. The child came from the Holy Ghost. She was a vessel God used to bring the Savior into the world. Understand, if you do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ, you're not saved. You must believe. Isn't it amazing how many people out there have no clue? You say, well, Brother John, they can't help themselves. Yeah, they could if they just pick up the book, start reading it, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, one, that they need the Savior, and two, understanding of the Scripture. It's amazing. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. Christ, the Savior and the Lord. Understand, that child born in that manger was God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Amen. What? The Word was God. Word is, and the Word was. One and the same. Lord. Now, notice what happens after he tells the shepherds. And all this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Y'all understand the swaddling clothes? It's what they used to wrap dead bodies. A picture of what was to come. You see, Jesus was born to die. Lori sings a song, Born to Die. He was born to die. And he did it because he loved you and me. What a Savior. A babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. An old trough. You see, Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus made a decree for all to come. And see what it was, basically, and this is another thing that kind of gets me, is the reasons, well, Caesar Augustus didn't even know what God was doing. He was ignorant to the fact that God was going to use him to help usher in Christ into the world. But Caesar Augustus called everybody to come because he was going to do a censor so that he could know how many people was in his kingdom and he could tax them. So they had to go. And they went. And when they got there, there wasn't no room at the inn. So they ended up being put in a little offshoot stable for animals and all, because that's all. And have you ever thought about, we've heard it preached, and I've heard it taught many times about the innkeeper. You ever thought, you know, if he'd have had any sense, he'd have been more than happy if he would have just known who that was to have said, hey, you take my room. But he didn't, did he? Had no room at the inn. But he did say, hey, make room there. Hopefully there's enough room for you. But trouble me no more. There's a lot of folks that have the same attitude about Jesus. Trouble me no more. There's no room in my heart for you. I'm too busy living for myself. I like me. I like what I'm doing. Beloved, even though you make no room for him, even though you want nothing to do with him, understand this morning, he still loves you. And he wants you to have a relationship with him. Now, angel told the shepherds what to look for. And then notice, and suddenly There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, excuse me, praising God. As I pondered, I studied this week as I pondered on that heavenly host, all of heaven coming down to earth where the shepherds were. As I pondered, I thought, well, I wonder why they were praising God. But first of all, God is the creator of all things. He is the angels' creator. And the reason they were praising God was because this God of glory left the riches of heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us that he became poor for our sakes, that we might become rich. But he left the glory of heaven and he came down to the world to die for his creation. And literally, they didn't understand anything about salvation, but they were praising, praising the Creator for who he was. And that's why when we assemble in God's house, whether it's Christmas or any other Sunday, when we come through those doors, we should be praising him for who he is. Amen? So they're praising the Lord. And what's also something, they're praising the Lord for him coming into the world to die for his creation. But 33 years later, he's going to die on a cross for those that he came into the world to save. And yet, the angels and the host are praising him. Folks, all I can say is, he is worthy of our praise. Amen. Now, notice verse 14. And saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, the host disappears. The angels are gone now. Here's the shepherds. Now, they could have just, we must be overworked, we're tired. Ain't no way we saw what we just saw. But no. They were a few of them, don't know how many of the shepherds were there. Tradition says there's four or five. But the point is they looked at one another. Because it had been revealed to them, they said, let's go and see what's been told to us. Didn't hesitate, didn't have to convince them. You didn't have to pull teeth and say, come on, let's go. They wanted to go and see this. Remember, who did God reveal himself to first? Through the angels. Shepherds, outcasts, those that were considered the lowest of the low. And they went to see what was told them. This morning, we have heard this story over and over and over again. But do you believe the story? I do. And it's new every time I hear it. It may be the old story, but it's new every time I hear it. And I rejoice at the fact God of the universe loved me enough to come into the world and die for me. How about you this morning? And notice, which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. God revealed himself to them. And look at verse 16. And they came with haste. They just nonchalantly. No, I believe they wanted to get there. I believe they could hardly wait to get there. They were so excited. Wouldn't it be nice? around Christmas, all of us were excited to celebrate his birth. Excited. With haste, get up, get up. Well, let's open gifts. No, let's sit down and read the gospel story. Let's celebrate the Savior coming into the world. So, they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger just as it was spoken. And look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, this child. Notice, when they had seen it, they made known it abroad to whoever they came across. They told them about this child. In other words, one, I believe with all my heart, those shepherds, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they went and saw themselves that it was true. I believe they became born-again believers right then and there. Not only did they become born-again believers, but they became missionaries because they began to share the gospel with everyone they came across. And beloved, let me just say, the gospel that we preach, the gospel that we teach, is a word that needs to be shared. Understand, we should share it with those that we visibly come in contact with, every home, every person. We should share it with tracts. We should share the gospel every opportunity we have. These shepherds, lowly shepherds, were never the same after they met the Master. But listen to me. They shared abroad the gospel. Christ came into the world to die for us sinners. Now think about this. It didn't. The gospel didn't end there in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. You see, they shared the gospel with those they came across. And those they came across shared the gospel with those that they came across. And those that came across, they shared the gospel. And on and on and on until the gospel was shared with you and me. Think about that. It's amazing, isn't it? But that's the way it's supposed to be shared. Amen? So they share the gospel. They go back. Now, notice what it says. And all they that heard it wondered, or marveled, if you will, at those things which were told them by the shepherds. This is the only thing that bothers. Now, the shepherds, when they saw with their own eyes, they couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to share what they saw. And there were those there that came across the shepherds in which the shepherds shared the gospel with. But think about this. The town of Bethlehem, those that made up Bethlehem, still in their beds. You see, had they been up, how could you not see the glory of God around the city? But there are many sleeping. Understand this morning, there's many still spiritually asleep. Even though it is Christmas, they're spiritually asleep when it comes to the babe in a manger, the Savior of the world. And that breaks my heart. These folks were amazed. They marveled. But look at what it says about verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, I'm sure when the shepherds showed up and told Mary and Joseph about what they had seen. And when they came to that babe laying in a manger, I'm sure they all dropped and began to worship him. And I'm sure in Mary's mind again, the grace of God is shown here. Because God chose her by his grace to be that vessel. And she herself saw him in that manger as the Savior. But not only that, as she and Joseph took care of him as he grew in stature and strength and in spirit, she watched him. She watched him as he dealt with people by healing them and performing miracles. She saw him. And the worst day of her life was the day she had to see with her own eyes Jesus nailed to a cross. So all of these things, as she watched there, she pondered in her heart and her mind. But praise God, cross wasn't the end. He was buried, and after the third day, he rose again. Amen. Praise God. And then verse 20 says this, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it were told them. Now, think about the shepherds. Just for a second. They've worshiped the baby king, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now they return back to those hills with those sheep. Still considered by the religious priests unclean. Low. Society, they're shepherds, they're dirty, they're vulgar. But the thing is this, they returned glorifying God because they, from that moment on, would never be the same. Ever be the same. They didn't go to the temple that day. They went back to what they knew. Understand, they were changed. They were changed. How many of you this morning know people that have seen and do testify they know the Lord? And there's been such a change in them that it's almost unbelievable. You ever met anyone like that? I have. I'll go one better than that. I was one of them. You could almost say I had the road to Damascus conversion. I was the worst sinner of all, had a potty mouth, I was vulgar, I was just the chiefest among sinners. But when I finally saw the Savior with my own eyes, found out that he loved me, he came into my heart and changed me. And I've never been the same. Not perfect, but I've been changed. And sometimes we at church, and we're guilty of this, sometimes it's non-cliche. But when you see someone that has seen Jesus and you've seen truly a change, it ought to draw you closer to the Savior. Amen. Now I'm going to close with this. Jesus came into the world 4,000 years after God told Adam and Eve that a son would be born, the seed of a woman. 4,000 years is a long time. But God kept his promise, and listen, every miracle and everything that it took to get Jesus into that manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, God did it for you and for you and for me and for the whole world. He loves you, and He loves me, and He wants you to be saved. My question this morning is, have you accepted His gift? You see, as my brother said, it's the greatest gift you could ever receive. It's the greatest gift. Have you received that gift? If you're here this morning and you need salvation, this altar's open. If you're here and you need to make things right between yourself and the Lord, this altar's open. If you're here and you just want to come up and say, Lord, thank you for coming into the world. I celebrate your birth, but most of all, I celebrate the salvation I have through you. You come. As He speaks to your heart, would you obey His voice?